I'm told that you've already heard this, but I've not preached since in person since 2019, so it is such a pleasure to be with people instead of talking to my computer. That's it's a weird time we're in. This pandemic we've been living under has significantly changed so many things, for better and for worse. For some, the virtual world we find ourselves in has leveled the playing field. Opportunities for participation have opened that were not available in 2019. As meetings, classes, conferences, trainings, and even day-to-day work activities have gone to Zoom, live stream webinars, and recorded content for YouTube and Vimeo, more opportunities are available that otherwise would not have been. One example is a weekly group I attend. In 2019, they only met in person. Last year, as did many others, the meeting went virtual on Zoom. That move made the meeting more accessible to some, while more difficult for others. Through Zoom, now weekly, someone joins from their home in Egypt, someone else from Sweden, and another person from their home in Iran. It's pretty amazing. It allows for other perspectives that otherwise we wouldn't have had. And they can attend a meeting that they never could have in Nashville. Virtual participation has also made some events more affordable. There's no need for airline tickets, hotel rooms, food, and other travel costs. Last week, I completed a training with people from across the US, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and Ukraine. Previously, that was only an in-person training, and several of us who attended last week would never have been able to do that training. At the same time, I'm aware that there are others unable to transition to virtual participation for many reasons, including inadequate internet access, equipment, computer skills, or neurological and physical challenges that prevent virtual participation. And for everyone, distancing from one another has been challenging and even devastating for some. We've missed the in-person connections with family, friends, coworkers, loved ones, with our community. We had to learn new social conventions, language, and behavior. Like, we can't hear you, you're muted. My favorite part of the move to virtual is the reduction in travel, my driving time. I don't know about you, but I'm not a fan of driving. I don't have to figure out where the meeting is, how much time I need to drive there, get stuck in traffic, and arrive late. I do have to get to my computer on time and locate the Zoom link. Those things hide. But even if I am late, I don't have to walk across the room in front of everybody while they watch me come in late. There have been so many changes to our lives in the last 19 months. Plans were made by many over the summer months to return to in person. Some began meeting in person and then had to discontinue and go back to meeting virtually. Leaves us feeling tired, even exhausted. We believed we were ready to emerge from this stage of separation, only to discover that it is not yet time to emerge. Instead, we are once again waiting. In her book, When the Heart Waits, Spiritual Direction for Life's Sacred Questions, Sue Monk Kidd writes that there are three phases in the waiting process: separation, transformation, and emergence. Kidd writes about her process through those stages during her midlife. For her, that waiting process is beautifully illustrated in the life of a butterfly. The caterpillar separates entirely from the life they have known, enters a cocoon where transformation occurs. When that caterpillar emerges from the cocoon, everything is different. The caterpillar is now a butterfly. It no longer must walk everywhere. Now it can fly. The first phase of waiting, separation, is something that we have all become quite familiar with. In March 2020, we began separating. We tried to stay home as much as possible, to limit interactions with people outside of our homes, and when we were around each other, tried to socially distance, to stay 6 feet apart. Separation seems straightforward, to disengage or move apart. That can be accomplished calmly and easily, or while kicking and screaming. The challenge then becomes to stay put in separation, to wait. While it has improved with age, I'm not all that skillful in patiently waiting. And waiting seems more difficult when I don't entirely know what it is I'm waiting for. Have you ever been on the highway and all the traffic comes to a complete stop for no apparent reason? So you're sitting there, it's just so frustrating. What are we waiting for? Why is everyone just sitting here? The waiting process seems to be less challenging when the cause is known. Oh, there was an accident. I hope everyone is safe. The waiting seems bearable when the reason is clear. During the time of separation, we might experience both a pull to let go and a pull to cling to what was or to what was previously true. Separation has required changing or letting go of attachment to various activities, relationships, communities, even employment. Some of the changes are welcome, others not so much. While waiting in this stage of separation, we're left to ponder who we are without all of the activities, all of the relationships that had been so defining previously. In 2019, I completed training to become a spiritual director and entered my own private practice. I had just begun seeing clients when suddenly I had to shift entirely to Zoom. I had to let go of how I had been doing in-person spiritual direction and learn to embrace virtual. Congregations everywhere had to shift to virtual events and become experts in technology, audio, and video production, and so much more. How this time apart is perceived does influence the experience. For example, viewing separation as an opportunity to retreat or as being locked down and imprisoned. The first acknowledges your own agency in the experience, your own power to engage. While thinking of separation as imprisonment employs a lens of being under the control of others or being powerless to engage with this phase. Around the 3rd century, devout Christian contemplatives separated themselves from the religious and social order of their time. They left their homes and churches to go live in the desert, away from the institutions. These desert monastics sought out the solitude of the desert to pray, contemplate, listen, and wait. Throughout the centuries, religious from around the world have sought out this time of separation, of waiting. Today, people from all walks of life, the religious and the non-religious alike, seek out retreat centers, spaces in which to spend time in respite. There have been times in my life where I've gone on a retreat. I needed to be away from my day-to-day activities, to separate from all of the external noise around me so that I could listen deeply to my own inner voice. I sought places that would nourish my soul, spaces that embraced the beauty of nature. In the silence, I listen for my authentic self. I take time to notice the movement of the spirit and to reconnect with the web of life. The separation makes possible the time and space needed for inner growth and healing. It provides nourishment for transformation so that when I emerge, I'm refreshed and renewed. Staying put in separation is critical, as that is where the next stage, transformation, begins. Transformation is not often quick, simple, or easy. Instead, it is often hard and tiring work. Transformation is where change occurs. It is where healing begins, and it often takes much longer than we think it should take. In this liminal space, we might look deep within to what was and what has been in our own lives, in others' lives, in the world. This is a time to let go of those things that no longer serve us and to be open to what could be. Evidence is all around us of the many who are doing this inner work of transformation. Energy is building and growing for change. More people are becoming aware of climate challenges, of the need for reform in the criminal legal system, of how white privilege operates in the world and in our lives. The hearts and minds of so many are becoming open to hearing the stories, the experience of others, and becoming committed to change. How might we be renewed and replenished in separation? Could we create space to nourish our own spirits for transformation while also nourishing each other, our neighbors, the larger community, even the world? The transformation stage must not be rushed. You may have heard the story of the man who helped the butterfly. The story goes that this kind man wanted to help the butterfly to come out of its cocoon. So he used scissors to cut the cocoon, allowing the butterfly to emerge more easily. The butterfly emerged easily enough, but its wings never developed. The butterfly couldn't fly. You see, the newly transformed butterfly is at first quite fragile. The process of breaking out of the cocoon allows the butterfly to build strength and resilience. The process is critical to the full development of its wings, without which it cannot survive. The process of transformation is hard work, and it takes as long as it takes. It seems that our transformation process, the ending of separation, was rushed. Everyone was not yet ready. We began to emerge, to have gatherings before everyone was ready, before everyone completed their own transformation. We found that there is still work to do. The transformation is not yet complete. For me, this transformation process is like walking a labyrinth. The labyrinth is an ancient symbol found around the world. There is one path on the labyrinth that meanders in and out and around until arriving at the center. At some points, the walker is very close to the center, only to have a sharp turn pulling them away. This is the path of release or letting go. Eventually, the walker always arrives at the center. The center is the receiving and listening stage. Then the return walk offers a time for reflection on what was received or heard. The world began this circuitous path of transformation in 2020. We may still be walking the path of release. Perhaps we've reached the center. It seems that there is much more listening that we need to do, as everyone is not yet ready to begin the path of return. Waiting is an uncomfortable space to be in, yet this is the space of possibility. We are preparing. Each of us individually and collectively is transforming, is becoming ready to emerge. What has changed, transformed within you during this time apart? What transformation is still underway? The communities we live, the country, the world is being transformed in seen and unseen ways. We've all been changed by this pandemic. We will continue to be changed and transformed. Imagine when we do emerge that we've sprouted wings, that we can fly. What might that mean for you, for us? My hope for us, for society, is that we emerge a more just and equitable world. So be it. Amen.